Are you blessed this morning? Amen. Okie dokie, everybody turn to James chapter 4. It is an honor to have Sister Robin's awesome husband with us this morning, Brother Conway. We don't get to see you enough, my brother. But we do love you, and you're definitely part of the family. There's no use denying it. So we're in James 4. We're starting James chapter 4 this morning. I believe this is the 11th installment in our verse-by-verse study of the book of James. Last week, we were talking about that worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom, and how that worldly wisdom doesn't lead to anywhere good. Amen? Talking about that selfishness, that jealousy, that enviness, that pride gets us in a whole lot of trouble. Amen? Are you blessed this morning? James 4, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? But He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for blessing this sermon, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, that your will is going to be done this morning, that what needs to be said will be said, and that we will receive it with an open heart. And we're not just going to receive it, Lord God, but we're going to walk in it. And we're going to be that person that you've called us to be. We're going to be that witness to a lost and dying world. We're going to be that witness in our home and in our places of work. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so you guys ready to get into this? Okay, so James chapter 4 and verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Now listen, this isn't talking about the disagreement where two people cannot see eye to eye in a business meeting or a church leadership meeting. Okay, this is talking about those vicious infightings, those divisions that come in the church that Satan loves them. Amen? They cause so much destruction, and we don't want any of that nonsense here at Victory Life Church. Amen? There's no room for that. Can I get a witness? That's what we're talking about right now. Talking about that worldly wisdom, what it's going to look like once it enters the church. Once we give into it, this is the type of stuff we're going to see if we're living things out of our own selfish ambitions. It's all about me, so on and so forth. Inevitably, it is going to cause trouble. We're going to see manifestations in the church. Amen? So, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are in war within you? So, maybe you get your feelings hurt. Maybe you get your pride hurt. Someone doesn't shake your hand. Someone doesn't say hi to you. And these things can sound kind of silly, but when we get hurt, we get hurt. Amen? Other people might not be able to see what's going on, but sometimes we can get offended. We can get offended easily. It can be at the right place at the right time. For whatever reason, okay, or we can be that envious person, that jealous person. We get frustrated because it looks like somebody's got more than you got. What I'm trying to get at this morning is when we take this stuff and we dwell on it, when I feel like I'm becoming envious or jealous of somebody, or there's a little bit of bitterness welling up inside me, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to give that mess to the Lord, right? Because if I don't, if I just give into it, it's like catching some rabid animal of some sort, putting it in a cage and feeding it and watering it. Eventually, it's going to get bigger. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger until you can't contain it in that cage anymore. Y'all with me this morning? When we mess around with this stuff, you can't mess around with it. I mean, it's going to get out of control. Eventually, like what James is saying, eventually there's going to be some sort of quarrel. There's going to be some sort of fight. Amen. So when I realize that I'm getting a little bitter about something, that and maybe somebody really did me wrong. Amen. We're talking about church people. We're not talking about worldly wisdom this morning. Amen. We're not talking about how the world handles things. We're talking about Christian folks. Amen. Because Satan wants to really cause divisions and trouble and strife in a church. So that church can't be about the Lord's business. Amen. So when we realize what this is what's going on, we got to give it to the Lord. We got to repent and maybe even get right with somebody. Amen. Y'all with me this morning? What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this that your passions are at war within you? So when we don't give it to the Lord and we think about it, we dwell on it, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually it is going to seep out. Remember, what's in your heart, what's in your heart, what you've been thinking about, what you've been dwelling on, eventually is going to manifest itself. You're going to end up saying something. Okay, and you may not get in that verbal argument. You may not confront that person and let them have it in the church parking lot. Maybe you will. Maybe it'll be worse than that. But, so now what are we doing? We're gossiping. We're slandering. And it spreads and it spreads and it spreads. This is what James is saying. Don't get involved in this mess. What's going on in church is way too serious to be a little club where the world has just come in from every single angle and is causing so much trouble. Amen. We're a different people. We're a peculiar people. We're not our own. Amen. We belong to the Most High God, and He wants to make use of us. Amen. He didn't just save us. He didn't just save us to save us. Amen. But He has allowed us to live on earth at this moment in this time. And we're only here for a tiny little fraction. You know what I mean? And so we're here to do what He needs us to do. Amen? He has something for us all to do. We're to be about our Father's business. And so what James is saying, man, is we got to stop being selfish. We got to stop being selfish. And yes, sometimes people can be very rude. People can be very mean. Okay? But we got to realize, hey, you know what? I'm a Christian. Okay? So I need to handle this how the Lord tells me to handle it. Amen. And guess what's going to happen? When we do the hard thing, we talked about this in weeks past, when we do the hard thing, the hard obedience, God always blesses you for it. You know, and it doesn't feel good at the time, but you know what? God gives me strength. Does anyone know what I'm talking about this morning? God will hold me up and back me up when I decide to do the right thing. Can I get a witness? Amen. God is good. That's all I'm trying to say this morning, is God is good. Okay, thank you, Jesus. James 4 and verse 1 again. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? So here it is. We have this tug of war between good and evil. Amen? Does that make sense to anybody? I'm talking about good Christian folks. And I'm talking about when somebody hurts our feelings, or we feel like somebody's got it better than we do, Satan's always right there to try and work something up within you. Amen? Okay, now some of us have experienced more victory in this area than others. Some of us, this is just like a refresher, and we're like, man, this is old hat, but you know what? It's always good to go over this stuff again. Amen? But for some of us, we really need to understand that Satan has been able to have a heyday, has been able to have a party in our lives with this stuff, and it's caused so much destruction. Amen? Can I get a witness? Okay, so there's that spiritual tug of war. I'm not saying that you're not a saved person. I'm not saying that. It's not my place to say that. But what I'm saying is Satan would love for you to cause a bunch of trouble in your church. Satan would love for you to cause a bunch of trouble in your home. He loves that sort of nonsense. He doesn't want peace in your home. He does not want a church that is in unity, because a church that is on the same page, that is in love with the Lord, amazing things are going to happen. Amen? So he'll do whatever he can to cause trouble. And often, I'm not talking about anybody, but I'm talking to me, I'm talking to everybody, not anybody in particular, but we can mess up so much by just being selfish, saying, I will not be denied. I'm about to get hurt about this. Amen? Anybody ever been like that? Okay, so me and Dina are honest. That's a start. That's a start. We can build off of that. Okay. God is good. You know what? Nobody's perfect, right? Except for Jesus. He's perfect. Now, one of my favorites in the Bible, if you've been around here for any length of time, you know, I'm always, let's go see what the Apostle Paul says about this. We're always going to see Paul's writings. The Apostle Paul is one of my heroes, man. He inspires me. One of the things I like about Paul is his name's pretty cool. Right, Brother Paul? Yeah. It is, I mean, let's be honest, it is the coolest one-syllable name there is. Paul backwards is Luop. But we're not here to talk about that, are we? But what are we here to talk about? Because I just lost my train of thought. Okay, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? So the Apostle Paul says this right here. Romans 7 and verse 19. And you can write this down. If you got your bulletin, you should be able to follow along. Okay, now write this down. Romans 7 and verse 19. Let this be an encouragement to you, because the Apostle Paul was a super apostle, a super missionary, a super bishop. He was just a dude that was sold out to the Lord. And see what happens when you're a guy that's sold out to the Lord? You can accomplish so much. But he wasn't a perfect guy. Matter of fact, this is so telling. Look what he says here. For what I do is not the good I want to do. Can anybody relate to that? For what I do is not the good I want to do. I know the right thing to do, but now that it's in my face, I didn't do the right thing. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No. Listen. The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Paul's not saying, hey, one time I messed up. Since I've been saved, I messed up one time. He's like, I keep on doing the same stupid junk over and over again. The bad stuff that I'm not supposed to be doing. And Paul was a Christian dude. Paul loved the Lord. God used Paul to turn the world upside down. You know what I mean? But see, that's not supposed to be an excuse. And Paul says that, hey, man, grace is not an excuse for you to go keep on doing bad things you ain't supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? That's a paraphrase. That's not an excuse for us to do wrong right there. But see, that goes to show us that ain't nobody perfect. We all have room for improvement, and we need to be honest with ourselves and search our hearts, because we can be very selfish sometimes and do things we ain't got no business doing. Can I get a witness? Okay. Oh, man. Okay, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have. There it is. Now we're getting to the meat and potatoes right here. You're so grumpy, and we're fighting and we're quarreling because we've allowed enviness in our hearts. Or maybe some selfish ambitions. These, I'm talking about that worldly wisdom that we're not supposed to be taking part of, okay? Because we're not our own. We're that new creation. We want to be about our Lord's business, and we want to live a holy life, a set-aside life. Amen? Y'all with me? So we want to give this rubbish to the Lord, and we have to diagnose what's going on. We got to figure out, hey, I got a problem, like that prodigal son who was sitting in the pig doo-doo, who came to his senses. All God's people said pig, no, I'm playing. But he came to his senses. Thank the Lord that he allows us to get to the bottom where we can come to our senses. Amen? That's a blessing right there. And see, some of us have to come to that place where we come to our senses. Like, I'm messing up some stuff. This is not the way a Christian person is supposed to act. Can I get a witness? So we understand we have a problem. Then, just like the Apostle Paul, we give it to the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can't do it on your own, because our flesh man wants to get in trouble all the time. Our flesh man's very selfish. Can I get a witness? Okay. And that flesh man's going to rise up if we don't master it with the word of God. Can I get a witness? Okay. Matter of fact, you desire and do not have, so you murder. Ouch. James is going for the jugular right there. You know what I mean? He's like, this is how evil this stuff is that you're messing around with. Yes, it can lead to murder. Look in church history. Look from the beginning of godly people, amen, from Genesis till now. People do murder each other, right? That love Jesus, that get on the wrong pack, that do bad stuff, amen? But we can be forgiven, amen, right? So does Jesus forgive murderers? The Apostle Paul, right? David, you know? But see, we murder people all the time. Because, you know, when I read that, you know, a while back, I was like, not literally, but I was like, well, I'm not going to murder nobody. But we all know it goes way deeper than that. You know what I mean? We murder people's character all the time. You know what I mean? With that gossip and that slander, that's bad news. I mean, we can murder people by the things we say, and that's going to cause a big stink in a church. Amen? Now, listen to this. 1 John 3 and verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother, has anybody ever been guilty of that? Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother, for being honest. If we have hatred in our heart towards someone, the Lord sees that as murder. You see how serious this stuff is? I'm not saying anybody comes into this church and when they're pulling in the driveway, they see somebody else's car and they're like, ooh, 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 ooh. And all God's people went, ooh. I'm not saying we do that. But that might go on at the church across town, and we need to pray for those people. We need to have a burden for that church. No, it ain't those people across the street that keeps me up at night. I'll tell you that much. But see, we can have that, man, where we see that person and they get under our skin, and instead of giving it to the Lord, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Remember we talked about last week, one sin always leads to another sin. That's why we have to call it what it is and give it to the Lord. Repent. Amen? Okay, let me back that up for you. Genesis 4 and verse 7, talking about the first murder. If you do what is right, this is God the Father talking to Cain. If you do what is right, you will not. Hold on, let me just chill out for 1 second. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. See, one sin leads to another sin, and Satan is like a lion ready to just devour you, to tear you up. He wants you to get in more and more trouble. He wants you to pull more and more people down. He wants you to get in the nastiest, grossest possible destructive sin you can get into. Amen? He's just waiting there. Y'all with me? Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. Now listen, but you must master it. You must master. We can't let sin rule over us. Amen. We don't belong to the world's economy anymore. Amen. We're supposed to turn from all that stuff. And when we realize what's going on, we need to call it what it is and say, you know what? This is bad. This is sin. I rebuke it. I repent. And let's move forward. Y'all with me? Okay. James 4 and verse 2. You desire and do not have. So you murder, you covet, there it is, I want what I can't have, I want what I can't have, I can't have it my way, so I'm going to cause trouble. I'm going to do this, I'm going to cause trouble. And Satan loves that mess. He wants us to be disruptive, he wants us to bring air. He loves church splits, he can't get enough of those, amen? And think about this, when we're busy trying to patch up something like this, like a big old fight, we can't be out there ministering. We can't be out there witnessing. We can't be ministering what we're supposed to in here because we're doing damage control. You know what I mean? And Satan will take all that mess he can get. Is anybody getting anything out of that this morning? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Now I'm going to cause that trouble. You don't have because you do not ask. What the heck? All God's people said, what the heck? Thank you, brother. We don't have because we don't ask. Now, James absolutely positively is not saying that God is interested in giving you selfish stuff. But see, Christians are supposed to cast our cares upon the Lord. Christians are supposed to seek the Lord for our needs. Amen? And so, if I'm dealing with something, if I'm seeing, listen to me now, if I'm seeing something the wrong way, okay, because maybe I'm blinded because somebody really hurt my feelings. And so if I give it to the Lord, honestly give it to the Lord in prayer, guess what? The Lord is going to expose what's going on. He's going to show me, hey, this ain't right. Does that make sense? You've heard it like this. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. So prayer will either give you what you're asking for, and God does meet those needs. You know what I mean? And God does want to give you good stuff sometimes, okay? Sometimes it's no for now because you ain't ready for that, or that's not going to be productive at this moment. Can I get a witness? But see, a lot of the times, God changes you. He allows you to see it for what it really is. Amen? Does that make sense? So we give it to the Lord, and then he's going to expose it. He's going to show me, hey, this ain't really good here. Okay. And then we're going to repent from it. Amen? Oh, my goodness gracious. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So we give it to the Lord. Amen? But sometimes the answer is no because we ask for dumb things. You know what I mean? It's not that no, this isn't the right time for that, but you don't need this. This is not going to be productive for our relationship. It's like if your kid asks you for a chainsaw because he wants to learn how to juggle to join the circus or something like that. That's not going to do you right. That's not going to further my kingdom. Therefore, you don't get that. But remember, prayer changes things. So the Lord can and will change how we see these things. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Okay, let me back that up this morning. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. You can turn there if you want to. And this is one of those verses we need to underline in our Bible. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. If it's not God's will, God's not interested in saying yes. Amen? Let me say that again, and that's a pretty good spot. If you're still awake, that's a pretty good spot for an amen. If it's not God's will, God's not interested in saying yes. Crickets. I do wish I had like a sound effect machine up here where I could do like crickets or the foghorn or... Or maybe Lurch. Remember that dude Lurch from the Addams Family? And he'd say, like, you ring or something. I'm sure I could squeeze that in here somewhere. Okay, 1 John 5 and verse 14, moving forward. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we want our prayers answered, let's be confident in the fact that he hears us. Let's make sure that we've repented of any sin. Amen? And let's go before him with respect and reverence. And let's be confident that we know that he can do this. Amen? Y'all with me so far? But here's the deal. Here's the skinny. If it's not in his will, he's not interested in saying yes. Does that make sense? So we give it to the Lord. And we say, your will be done. And that's how we need to pray. Amen? This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. Amen? So either he's going to meet that need, or he's going to align our will up with his will. And that's the place we want to be at anyways. Amen? But if it's in his will, there it is. Amen? James 4 and verse 4. You adulterous people. That's another one of them ouch things right there. But think about it. If you step outside of your marriage for some sort of fulfillment, what is that? That's adultery. So if we're looking to the world, amen, y'all with me? If we're looking to the world, if we allow anything to be more important to us than our relationship with the Lord, this is super convicting, but it's the truth. If we've put something else that is more important to us than our relationship with the Lord looks at that as spiritual adultery. Amen? You adulterous people. So in other words, stop being so selfish. Stop being so envious, church people. This is what James is saying here. Church people, grow up. You know what I mean? There's something bigger. There's something bigger than your selfish pride, your selfish ambitions. You're envious. That stuff does not have any place in the church. Amen? You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend with the world makes himself an enemy of God. There it is. All those people said, there it is. Now, this verse right here has caused a lot of trouble. Caused a lot of trouble because sometimes people have read that and they're like, well, I can't have any friends that don't go to church. I can't have any friends that aren't Christian people. Well, then how in the world are we supposed to go out into the world and make disciples of all men, baptizing them? When, I mean, we see the template that Jesus set before us, and he was getting in trouble by the Pharisees. I mean, the Pharisees couldn't stand him because of the people he was hanging out with, the people he was fellowshipping with, the people he was breaking bread with. Does that make sense? So that is not what this is saying. It's saying you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. So bringing this worldly wisdom into the church, this whole, it's all about me, it's all about my selfish needs, my selfish desires, that has no place in the church. Amen? That's how the world does stuff. Amen? And you're not your own. We're not part of that anymore. Amen? Y'all with me? I'll say it like this. Matthew 6 and verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now that money doesn't just mean money. That's that worldly system that we get so caught up in all the time. Those idols. We don't need any of that nonsense. John says that, dear children, keep away from idols. Amen. No more spiritual adultery. Amen. We need to be sold out to the Lord. Remember those two commandments that keep coming up every couple weeks? Love the Lord your God with everything that you are. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're shooting for. More and more. Amen? Increasingly so. That's what we want to be. We're not going to do that perfectly. Amen? But we want to have that church that is in unity. Can I get a witness? Okay. Oh, I love you guys. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. If we're not careful, good Christian folks can get on the selfish train, and we can end up opposing God's plans and will for our life and others' lives. What are you talking about, Paul? I'm talking about somebody, we get our feathers ruffled. It happens all the time. Happens to me. I catch myself all the time. Sometimes it gets past me, and it takes Rachel Jean to catch me. You know what I mean? But we get in these places, man. And if we are not attentive, and don't see what's going on, because this sort of rubbish right here slips under the radar all the time. You know what I mean? It's not like shooting crack or smoking crack. You know what I mean? It's not like, I mean, this stuff can just happen really, really fast. You know what I mean? So when I catch it, I got to give it to the Lord. I got to turn from it, because I can be opposing what the Lord wants to do in my life, in my home, in my church, in my place of work, because it's all about me. Amen. Y'all with me? James 4 and verse 5. Or do you not suppose it is to no purpose? First of all, every time God speaks to us, it's for a purpose. It's always a teaching moment. You know what I mean? Like, every time you're with your son or you're with your daughter, those are all teaching moments. Every single moment you have with them, right? So God doesn't say anything that there's not a reason behind it. It's all for our growth. It's all good for us. Amen? Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? You guys hear that? The Lord yearns for us to be sold out to him. He is jealous for a relationship with us, a deeper walk with us. You know what I mean? So you see the earnestness in James, because this is such a serious thing, because the body of Christ is the Lord's people, and he wants us to be sold out. He hungers and thirsts. This is God. He hungers and thirsts for us to hunger and thirst for him. Has anybody ever went through anything like this where, you know, you feel like somebody you love so much isn't giving you, I'm not talking about Rachel Jean or nothing like that, but because I know you guys, you know, you love somebody so much and you feel like you're not getting that back in return? Anybody, maybe? Okay. Well, I've heard that happens. I've heard that happens from time to time. Look, man, I tried to give my son a hug and a kiss the other day, and he didn't want to kiss me back. And that hurt my feelings, man, because I don't think you should ever be too old or too hip or too cool where you can't give your daddy a hug and a kiss. That's just how I roll, man. So that hurt my feelings. And he's going to be on restriction until he gets married. He's going to figure something out real fast. No, I'm playing. And that's silly. But when that did happen, that hurt my feelings. It did. You know, and that's just some little thing, because I know that boy loves me. I know he does. But see, think about the Lord who delivered us out of Egypt. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He broke us free. He set the captives free. He delivered us from bondage. Amen. We're saved people now. And he really desires that we don't be so adulterous, that we're not cheating on him constantly. Amen. By getting selfish and putting other things above him. Amen. Those other things didn't die for you. Amen. Y'all with me? Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? Exodus 20 and verse 3. This is Ten Commandments right here, beloved. You shall have no other gods before me. That made it to the Big Ten right there. You shall have no other gods before me. That's little g's, because there's only one capital G God. You know what I mean? But we are so quick to put little gods above the one true God. Amen? Exodus 20 and verse 5. You shall not bow down to them, talking about idols. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. That's another one of those verses that messes up a lot of people. Y'all ever hear about that? That messes people up sometimes. God is not jealous of us. He's not jealous. That would be silly. That would be ludicrous. And all God's people said that would be ludicrous. It would be ludicrous. He's not jealous of us. He's jealous for us. He's jealous. He made us. He created us. He breathed his life in us. He saved our souls. His son died for you. You know what I mean? He's jealous. Just like you would be jealous over your mate. giving her affections to another. Amen. Can I get a witness? Okay. Now, this is good right here. Verse 6. But he gives more grace. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if we want to get caught up in divisions and strife and bitterness and selfish ambitions and jealousy and envy, don't expect the Lord to be backing you up on that agenda. You know what I mean? When you're opposing what he wants to do in the house of God, when you're opposing what he wants to do in your home or what he wants to do in your heart. Amen? Does that make sense? But if you do the hard thing, do the right thing, be obedient to the word of God, be obedient to that Holy Spirit that dwells inside you, you know, the Holy Spirit that was telling you the whole time, don't get offended, just give it to me, okay? You with me so far? If we're obedient to the Holy Spirit, if we're obedient to the Lord, he will bless us. He will bless us. Amen? I thought that was good. I anticipated that one to be like the, yeah, man, and everyone go like, yeah. Yeah, he will bless me because I did it once and it worked out pretty good. Yes. Okay. All right. Dear Lord Jesus, we love you. Do you love him this morning? We love you, Lord Jesus. And we praise your holy name. Thank you, Father God, that we are a serious church. We're serious about you. We're serious about putting you first, Lord God. And we are convicted in our hearts, Lord, of our spiritual adultery, Lord, where we have put idols above you, Lord God, where we have put our own selfish desires before your will and what your book says, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, that you will give us the conviction and you will give us the strength to do the hard thing, to do the obedient thing, to be what you've called us to be, to hold our tongue when we don't need to say something, to not be offended, but to be about your business, Lord God. And we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.